took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from
a vision to support our brother and sister Christians
and those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today,
we are two local pastors who love Jesus
and his people,
and he wants us to strengthen his disciples
to get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back to another program of Glorious Day. I am Pastor Dave.
I am Pastor Barry.
And we're so glad that you joined us tonight or tomorrow or whatever
it is. This morning, this evening?
This morning. Whatever time of day it is or isn't, we're glad you're with us. Tonight's theme, we're going to be dealing with the authority of the Christian. And we kind of touched on this at the last program we did, but this, we're going to get a finer focus on this. And there is always a scripture that is read, and I'm going to ask my brother Barry if he'd be happy to read that to us tonight.
The scripture today is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 19. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."
Amen. Amen. The word of God. It is the word of God. Yeah. And that's, I don't think most Christians have forgotten that, but it's still important to really focus on the issue of authority. And what is that? What is it? You know, what do we talk about? The authority of the Christian. Jesus said, and I love this because in verse 18, he makes no bones about the fact, all authority.
All authority.
In that's heaven some... and on earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's think about the in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Well, why did he preface the rest of what he was going to say by saying that? Well, because the next thing, you know, he's going to say is go therefore. So we go because he has the authority to send us. But more than that, he is giving us his authority in our going.
Amen.
In our mission and ministry. We have it.
And this is a command. This is not an idea. And, you know, we this goes back a little ways, David, where we had those nice young men on the radio that were doing church, home church and baptizing in the river. Remember those three young men?
Whose
ages add up to our own.
And that's just one of us.
The one fellow, this reminds me of him because he said, you know, when Jesus was ascending, he didn't say, remember to close the refrigerator door. I thought that was kind of funny. But these verses are what they live by.
Yes.
They're running around making disciples and baptizing them.
Amen.
Whether in the river, swimming pool, wherever it is, they're just kind of getting all these young people in line and getting them squared away. And I love that because there's such an enthusiasm there. And they're not waiting for a well-trained, scholarly, PhD pastor to go do it. They don't have that tact of, well, that's what the pastor does, right?
Right,
my
exactly.
friends, he's talking to all of you.
Yes.
All of us. It's funny that you picked this scripture, David, because a few months back I was sharing the scripture with my church folks in the nursing home. And this one fellow says, "You want me to baptize someone? I'm 96 years old." And I said, "Well, you can help."
Yeah, really.
You know,
yeah.
You can hold the cup or something. But sometimes they feel they're done.
Right.
They may have actually baptized someone in their life, but now they're done. You're never done. You're here. We're all here for a reason, whether you're 50 or 90 or 100.
Yeah.
But all of us have been given authority to do just this. And not just the baptizing part. Making disciples means you're the one sharing the Christ story.
Yes.
You're the one guiding them through the process to get their intimate moment at the cross. They're not Pastor so-and-so or Father so-and-so or whoever you're dealing with. But all of us have this responsibility. And if it may be overwhelming, like we were talking in our last show. You go, "Oh, I don't know how to do that."
Yeah, yeah.
"I don't know what to say." Guess what? If you're in touch with your Lord and you're asking him for help, he's going to help you.
Yes, yes.
He'll tell you what to do and how to do it and what to say.
This has always been something that has been true about the church. But I say today, when I say more so today, I mean, because of the circumstances of the world we're living in,
mm-hmm.
that it just seems that there's more of a need, you know, there's a crying, always been a crying need for the word of God to be preached and to be heard.
Right.
And for God has always sent his people where people need to hear the message, the, mm-hmm. the gospel. We're just, and maybe it's, I can't even think of the word now. I'm being a little too what? Someone will write in and say, well, you're being a little too, and I'd like to know what that is.
Befuddled?
A little, well, you know, maybe a little too demanding, or maybe I'm not perceiving the situation correctly. It's more of a heart thing, is there's so much more crying need today, it seems to me. I've been on the earth for 72 years,
mm-hmm.
and 72 and a half, maybe at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense of history then is really that long. But from the time when I first remember things, when I was, you know, come to reach an age when memory was working, and it stops working now when you get older, but my perception of the world was different as a child, but when I got into adulthood, I began to notice a lot of the things that, you know, the evil working in the world, you know, and I remember as a preteen, I was a teenager, I guess, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Yeah,
oh,
I was
yeah.
13 and mm-hmm. 14. And that began to reveal to me a much more challenging nature of the world and begin to identify it as evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to be scared, you know, and anxious and afraid. And then I met Jesus, you know, maybe 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of worked on my fear. But that kind of world really has been around for a while. I mean, the world has always been broken. It's always been imperfect. And it has always been a place that really is dangerous.
It's a dangerous world, and it's a world that can take people who do not know the Lord and just eat them up and spit them out.
Yeah.
And I work with a lot of young people. Dave, I don't know when it happened, but I'm suddenly the old guy at work. I used to be a young, cool dude, but now I'm the old guy at work. And people in their 20s and 30s and some 40s, have a sense of fear and doom for the world. Like the world has got a short lifespan now.
Yeah.
I hear this a lot. There's a lot of fear of nuclear war, things like that. Diseases, pestilence. You know,
we've had pestilence recently.
And all these things. And for someone who doesn't have a relationship with God, it's doubly scary because I don't want a nuclear bomb to drop here.
No.
You know, but I'm ready to go to heaven, but, you know, that flashpoint just kind of, it sounds painful.
Yeah, but only briefly.
Ever so briefly.
Yeah, but
there is there's not only a fear, David, but there's a hunger. And it's so obvious to those who have the peace of Christ, who have the presence of Christ in them, of what this hunger is.
Yeah.
And we have all these fads now. It's one to another to another. It's like I'm watching the young generation now jump from one thing to another like they got ADHD. You know, that's not in style anymore. Now so they're trying to fill up this hunger with stuff and things and trends, and that's not it, and they're not getting it.
One of the oldest transgressions is idolatry.
Mm.
And so, you know, now it's electronics, it's, you know, chemicals, you know. It's, clothing, it's money, what's whatever. But we live it. But I think you mentioned there's a higher concentration of fear stimuli in the world today.
Do you think that started when we had 24-hour news cycles?
I'm sure they have lent themselves to that. Yeah.
The hysteria,
and you know, and that's why I don't really follow the news much. I do pick stuff up so I know what's going on, but there's some people that are glued to the TV and they go to all these news outlets, and of course they're getting a doctored stuff anyway.
Oh yeah.
But we do have, I think that right now, what I'm hearing in my heart, and you, I know you are too, because we love Jesus so much, and we know other people who love him so much, that when we look out into the world and we see all the fear-mongering the devil has been in, you know, the incendiary fear that ignites people, and we look at all that stuff, and we're so deeply, I say we, but as human beings, we can be so deeply afraid for ourselves. And the devil loves to come in, you know, and make us fearful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, but at the same time this is going on, and this is a three-ring circus of fear-mongering mm-hmm. that's going on, we have, you and I and all other believers, have the power and the authority given to us to speak the gospel and the words of Christ, mm-hmm. the words of peace into the land. You know, we do it, how we have several ways of doing it. We can do it through prayer. You know, God receives our prayers. He honors our prayers. He wants us to pray. And so in the authority that Jesus has given us, we pray for those things that God focuses us on. But they're all issues coming out of the brokenness of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, then we take that word out into the streets, because that's where the hurting people are.
This radio station is taking it out
Amen.
To all these counties as far as the signal goes. And you and I, you know, we pray that people are listening all the time to the station.
Yeah.
And we'll probably never know until we're with the Lord just how many people heard. But I preach the gospel with a sense of urgency.
Yes.
And I look at people, and I always go back to the Great White Throne Judgment, and I don't want anybody to ever experience that lake of fire, whether they're your friend, your enemy, whatever it is. You don't want anybody to suffer for an eternity in that.
No.
So it should give you a sense of urgency to be obedient to Christ and go out and do just this.
Yes.
You know, preach this gospel everywhere, to everyone.
Everywhere. And that wherever you're sent,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have enough people that need to hear the gospel within the 10 square miles from where we're
and
broadcasting.
You know, it's funny. We're planted by God where we bring this gospel. And there's a young pastor that we both know who was kind of, it was God's doing, but he ended up at a very young age as a pastor, just out of the chute, to a church that was a dying church.
Yeah.
I think he said he had about 30 people that were in their 80s. He said the church was full of medical equipment, and nobody wanted to do anything but get through one service alive and then go home. And he had envisioned this wondrous church with ministries for every age group. And he called me one day, and he says, they're so caught up in themselves and their disease processes and other problems that the church was dying before his eyes. And he said, I think I want to quit.
Mm.
And I said, you can't. And he said, what do you mean I can't? And I said, God planted you there for a reason. I said, so you just got to, you know, pull up the bootstraps and stay there and continue to do what he tells you to do. And that was probably 7 or 8 years ago. And now they have over 260 people in the church. The average age is probably 21.
Wow.
They have contemporary services, traditional services, ministries for kids, for teens, for every age group. And they're out in the community and even the world, in Haiti in particular, with their ministries. And it's just a wonderful thing. And he told me one day, I'm glad I didn't quit. I said, I'm glad you didn't quit too, because these people would not have found their way to Christ.
That's right.
It's amazing when you're obedient, David, when you're obedient. And in our ministries, we have tough times, rough patches.
Sure we do.
We're challenged, right? We're only human. And, you know, the devil creeps in, whispering in your ear, you know, you don't have to do this.
He loves to discourage.
You're a pretty smart guy. You know, you could do something else for a living. You got an education. All these things. But where the rubber meets the road is to stand fast where God has put you and bear fruit where you are.
Amen.
Now, wherever that is, you don't have to be a pastor to bear fruit.
No. I mean, there's one pastor and 200 people in a church.
That's right.
Hey, you know, you can't expect that guy or gal to do everything. Come on. You know, and I've been in places as a pastor where, you know, people was, oh, we pay you to do this.
Yeah, you go do it.
Yeah, you go do it.
I sit right here. This is my pew.
Your opinion may be that you pay me to do that, but what God's opinion is that you pay me to teach you and to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to, so that the multiplication, you know, the loaves and fishes,
right.
Well, God's doing that with you. You know, and he's taking you and he's filling you and he wants to send you out. And
that happened in a nursing home where I thought they were being just like that. They would show up and they were very comfortable, and it's a pretty good sized little church in the nursing home. There was probably 30 or 40 people,
mm-hmm.
but they were silent, and they would just sit there and watch, and they didn't do anything.
Mm.
And one day I went in the lobby and this lady in a wheelchair stopped me. She couldn't speak. She had had a stroke.
Mm.
But she put her hand up, and I said, you want me to stop? And she nodded her head. And I said, for how long? And then she rolled back in the hallway, and someone had called her. She nodded her head, so I followed her. And each and every person attending that little church group had brought something to the altar.
Oh.
They put an altar together. There wasn't one there mm-hmm. before, and they draped it. Excuse me. And they each had a little, I would call it a Christian tchotchke of some kind, little statues, little mm-hmm. cross. Someone had a little bit of blessing oil. And they took over the church.
Ah.
Because I've been preaching, just because you're 90 years old doesn't mean you can't share this gospel.
Right.
You still got to be obedient to Christ.
Yeah.
So they kind of took over the church and had me sit down, and they played music. They had a little... this is how old they were. They had a cassette recorder.
Wow. Museum quality,
yeah,
no
yes.
doubt. Yeah.
But it was wonderful to witness because they listened, and it wasn't just me speaking. It was God speaking to their hearts.
Wow, that's powerful. Well, and while we've been kind of leads me to, you know, we talked about getting the gospel out into the streets,
mm-hmm.
but we also are under the authority of Christ to get the world out of the church.
Amen, brother.
You know, and frankly, you know, it's kind of sad, but it's very obvious that in some places the church has been overcome by the world.
Yeah, you need to see a difference when you go through the door of the world and what God's house should look
exactly.
like.
Exactly, exactly.
What is our friend, Ed, I'm calling you out, how did he put it? A corrupted gospel is one that's been changed.
Right. It's been edited.
Edited and
to make the people comfortable.
Yeah.
And so, we're not going to be challenged by this gospel.
And when he says, you know, it's a corrupted gospel, a compromised gospel.
Compromise, right.
And when he said that, it really gave rise to the fact that, you know, Satan's got a lot of time on his hands, and so he gets people to say, you know, if you want to get 2,500 people in this building, you got to saw off the edges of them commandments, and it's kind of painful to hear.
Yes.
You need to not stop talking about judgment.
Well, yeah. and that, of course, is you have to make sure. We talked in a previous program about the from Ephesians chapter 4,
mm-hmm.
Where Paul says, speaking the truth in love.
Amen.
Which he was synthesizing basically how we go about the content of our sharing in our lives, really,
mm-hmm.
is speaking the truth in love. And when I say getting the world out of the church is when the world comes in, when you let it in, and you do,
mm-hmm.
you know, God is not going to, and the Lord knows you're doing it, but you have free will, and if your leadership using their free will has allowed the world to come in,
mm-hmm.
one of those two things is missing. We talked about again this earlier that mostly what I have seen is that they edit out the truth and they do the love part.
True. And, you know, the love part is very inviting.
Oh, yeah.
I can feel the
and
love.
And it's not offensive.
Church. No, I want to go to church and feel loved. And that's good. You know,
yeah, yeah.
They should feel loved in church. They should have a sense of peace in church.
Sure.
But you're not doing anybody any favors by not telling the whole story. If you don't share the entire message of Christ, you know, Christ preached about hell more than heaven. And think about that. He was telling the truth because he loves us and he doesn't want us to end up in hell.
There's a one, speaking of Jesus, which we should do as much as we can, but there's one great gospel story, and everyone will remember it. And it's the one where the casting out of the money changers in the temple.
Yeah.
And if there's any story from the gospels that underscores what we just talked about getting the world out of the church,
mm-hmm.
it's that one. Because this was the house of God.
My father's house is a house of prayer.
Yeah, right. And it's not, you know, a place for corruption and greed.
Yeah, they were making money off the top, selling pigeons and camels or whatever else they had in there.
Well, they for the offering, and they were overcharging.
Sure.
You know, for everything. And they were also the money changers. When you worked in the Roman world, you got paid with Roman money.
Mm-hmm.
But Roman money was not acceptable in, you had to use Jewish temple money.
Right.
Right?
There was a difference in value?
There was a difference in value.
Mm.
And so you would come in to exchange, you know, because everything you bought in the temple, those, the doves, the bulls, whatever for sacrifice, the grain, the wine, you had to use temple money, Jewish money. And of course they were taken seriously in the exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was usury going on there.
Wow.
And this, of course, was allowed by the chief priest because he got a cut.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, this is sad. So when you understand how the corruption mm-hmm. gets into the house of God, well, that wasn't peculiar to the time when Jesus was going in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a problem all along, because human beings bring this stuff with them.
Their sin nature.
And so mm-hmm. the power. So listen, where am I headed with this? The authority of Jesus is going to be seen more and more functioning as much within the church as outside of it. Pastors, leaders, people need to take that authority and as God gives it.
Right.
And point out the things that need change lovingly, again, loving in truth, not vindictively, but getting the body of Christ together within the churches and letting the Spirit guide you to see what's what. What's going on in your church? Why are you not growing? Why are you even shrinking? Why are you not effective? Why, when you go into church, do you feel like you want to be someplace else?
Are you being spiritually fed?
Are you being spiritually fed? Mm-hmm. And that, because the church should be a place where you go to be spiritually fed, where you go to grow, mm-hmm. where you go to learn what it means to be a disciple, and where you're encouraged to be that disciple out beyond the walls of the church.
That's right. And in obedience to this, to get out of the church and go evangelize everyone.
And bring Jesus to the people around you.
That's right.
And that, if that's not happening, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to change. And I will even tell you that if the people of God will not do that, God will do that ultimately. Because what he is doing now in the church globally, and but specifically now I'm speaking of America, because I do believe the prophecies that a great revival is coming in America. And so what God is doing, and I've already begun to see this in the churches, some of them,
mm-hmm.
is kind of rooting out the devil's intrusions.
Mm-hmm.
If you folks don't believe the devil can come into your church, you've got your head in the sand, okay? Because he loves to go wherever he's taken.
Yep. Jay Vernon McGee talked about that many times.
He did. He really, yeah. And said, others, you know.
When you're not in church last Sunday, the devil was there sitting in your seat.
Exactly. Yeah, and while we chuckle about it, but there's a real there's a real hard truth here.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not praying for your church, for your congregation, for your pastor.
Amen. Pastors, I was just going to say that. Pray for your pastor.
Amen.
Daily.
Daily.
That he's receiving God's message to give to you.
How many major pastors have you seen in the last, just this 2022, who've been unseated because of moral failure on their part?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking of the one Australian church, Hillsong, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Where the founding pastor, I guess, been there for a long time, and they have a lot of good ministry that comes out. But, you know, and it's not, I remember several years ago, everybody was going to or looking at the product of Willow Creek Church in Illinois there.
Right.
And, of course, Bill Hybels had a moral failure. I mean, and the devil gets into the church sometimes through the leadership.
Right, and you can't put your faith in mankind.
You can't.
The failure every time.
But we have to pray for your church, and you have to pray for the whole body of Christ.
Amen.
Because the enemy wants to keep us from doing what Jesus said to do. He wants to keep us from taking the authority that Jesus wants to give to us, to do right. what we're supposed to do. And so I'm saying those churches that won't comply, I don't see God giving them favor.
And they will eventually fall by the wayside.
Exactly.
And the ones that are spiritually led will thrive.
And we're not happy saying this.
No.
Because God does not enjoy his judgment of his people who are sinning. But at the same time, he's not gonna stop being who he is, you know, which is our perfect righteous God who wants to give us that righteousness and will not tolerate. He abhors sin.
That's right.
And so,
amen, brother.
You know, with that in mind, we've got to, this is a job for us, but we have the Holy Spirit to empower us, and we have the authority of Jesus. He gave it to us to be the church.
Amen. And we do.
And we do, and we must.
All of you out there, we're talking about you too.
Oh, yeah. I really, you know what I hope? I hope and pray, and I believe God is assuring us and making this promise that if we will do that, he will cleanse our churches. He will refocus the mission of the church back to where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, which is a big issue for us, I know it's for me, and that is he will unify the body of Christ in a way that we have not in our own lifetimes ever known it to be. Not since the early church. And I mean the first days when after Jesus ascended
the early
church, they were in union with each other and with God. Did they disagree? Yeah. Union doesn't mean no disagreement.
But they got a lot done. The power of the Holy Spirit was just running through that crowd.
Well, it's how the church grew out from Israel into the known world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just exploded. You know, so God wants to have that church again. He's going to have it.
He will.
Because God gets what he wants. I think the word to you, listeners, is, do you want that? Are you going to be part of that?
Something to cogitate about till the next time.
Something to cogitate about. Not to be afraid of it, but to lay it before the foot of the cross. Get on your knees and ask God, am I doing that? Mm. Because if not, I want to. I want to claim the real authority of Christ to do the work of Christ. Help me.
That's right.
You know, our time is up.
Is it really?
We got
time to bless people?
Well, not a whole lot. No, we actually don't. But so we'll keep praying for you people, all of our listeners, after and throughout the next few weeks.
God bless everybody.
Yeah. And by the way, you can reach us at gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
It was about 3 years ago, I had the privilege of going to the Philippines, and when I was there, I stayed in an orphanage, and I met this one little boy who has a special place in my heart. And he came running up to me, and he introduced himself to me, And he said, "Hi, my name is Jerry." And I told him,